Welcome to another podcast episode brought to you by P2PEmpire.com. I'm your host Jakub Krejci, and I'll be teaching you how to create passive income by investing in P2P loans. I started investing in P2P loans back in 2017, and in 2020, I launched P2P Empire to bring more transparency into the P2P lending space to enable you to make a more educated investment decision. On this podcast, I'll be interviewing experts from the peer-to-peer lending industry so you can learn more about individual investments on various platforms in different countries. This podcast is sponsored by smart investors who enjoy our independent research and are interested in making informed investment decisions. If you're one of them, you can support our project on buymeacoffee.com/P2PEmpire. To learn more about how to make money from P2P lending, please visit our website P2PEmpire.com and watch our guides on our YouTube channel. Welcome back to another P2P Talk. My guest today is Vitalis Salovs, who is the CEO of Esketit, which is a relatively new P2P marketplace where you can earn up to 14% interest per year. In today's interview, we'll be introducing the platform, but we'll also talk about some of the key features that you should be aware of before investing on Esketit. So welcome to the interview, Vitalis.
Hello, Jakub. Nice to be here. My pleasure to talk with you and talk to your audience and tell you more about Esketit and what we are doing here at our platform.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what you have to say. So Esketit is a rather new platform. So can you shortly introduce Esketit to our audience?
Yeah, of course. As you mentioned, I will repeat, my name is Vitalis. So I'm leading Esketit platform. We launched platform approximately half a year ago. So me, myself, last almost 7 years I have spent in P2P industry. So I have seen how the industry was exponentially developing in our continent lately. And I know what investors appreciate in their experiences with platforms, and I also of course know what they don't like when they are doing their investments in loans. And I'm here with Esketit to satisfy investor needs and with the opportunities and that we offer on our platform and to make investors happy and try to not deliver the bad experiences they have had lately and mainly last year, of course. So yeah, at the Esketit platform we deliver to investors quite a unique environment where they can invest in loans that are issued by businesses that are led by our founders, Matijs Antsviesulis and Dāvis Barons. They have never lost any investor funds in their businesses, and safety of investors' funds is the most important driver for us. And having loans issued by such experienced people as they are, and that's, in our opinion, is the main benefit for our platform. Of course, the last year brought as many surprises as I have already mentioned, and from my perspective, the main driver for originators to be successful is the good management of those companies, and only companies with good management they can survive crises. And so maybe one another and last things to mention also about Esketit. So quite a unique thing is that also we offer possibility to invest in such a country as Jordan. I think no other platforms are offering this for now, and also in the future loans from Sri Lanka also will be added to the platform.
So thank you for your very extensive introduction. So I'm quite always interested about what's behind the product. So you already mentioned you are offering loans from Cream Finance, from selected loan originators under Cream Finance Group, as well as from other lenders that are connected to the founders.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with the core product. So I think you offer short-term loans, correct? With an interest of up to 14% per year. So investors can earn currently, I think, between 12 and 14%. And you also offer a buyback obligation, which is something investors might be familiar with from Mintos. But perhaps you can share some of the more technicalities and the legal aspect of the buyback obligation and how this helps to protect investors' funds.
You have said everything correctly. Just to add, on our platform, we have loans from Cream Finance, and loans from Cream Finance, they have, of course, this buyback obligation, what means, as also in other platforms, that if loans are late, they are rebought by a loan originator, the accrued interest is also paid for them. And in our case, all the loans which are issued by Cream Finance, they are having also a group guarantee. As many of you know, Cream Finance is a quite strong organization and working more than 10 years and having more than 10 years experience in this field. And that's about Cream Finance loans. But on top of that, we also have loans from those new businesses our founders have started. And those loans, as I already mentioned, now are from Jordan. As those loans and businesses they are coming from, they have started them just recently, and they are operated through the separate entities. Those separate entities provide also, of course, buyback obligation for those loans. As those businesses are fresh, the risk is higher there, and that's why also interest rate is higher, and it is 14% at the moment. But at the same time, as we know, our founders, they have very good experience in doing that, and they understand how to run those businesses also in new countries if they start something new in new countries, yeah, as I mentioned.
Let's go back to the buyback obligation. I think this buyback obligation means that after 60 days, the loans will be repurchased from the loan originators. But there's also a group guarantee involved for Cream Finance or loan originators, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct, yes.
Can you maybe explain to some of our audience, they might not be understanding of what's the difference between buyback obligation? Most of us are familiar with the term buyback guarantee. Is it the same or is there something else?
Yeah, I would say, in my opinion, buyback guarantee and buyback obligation is the same. Just the wording is a little bit different, but essence is the same. I think the word obligation is better to use because maybe less informed investors could interpret the word guarantee that it is indeed guaranteed and that there is no possibility to lose anything. And they have maybe not understood that double-digit returns involve risks and that they could also sometimes materialize, for example, if such things like COVID crisis come or some other things appear. Yeah, so that's in short what I think about those names and their usage.
I am aware that the buyback guarantee or the group guarantee is directly connected to the financial performance of the finance group or to the loan originator, right? From my understanding, Cream Finance has had a loss in 2020. How do you think does that affect the quality of those guarantees?
That's a good question, yeah. But to be honest in that answer, my thoughts about this, there is no impact on this group guarantee obligation because of that last year. Yeah, of course, in financial reports, we see that there was this loss, but if we check it in details, as per information I have by working here, so this loss was coming just from currency exchange losses. If we take out those, then all those businesses in all those countries were profitable even with having a COVID situation last year. So, and after COVID hit the world, Cream Finance also did all the necessary changes to change their risk policies and appetite. And since COVID also, Cream Finance has been profitable on a monthly basis since then. And also one important thing also to mention about Cream Finance is that the strategic shareholder of Cream Finance is also biggest retail bank in South Africa. And those guys are also helping them with their knowledge and in the operations what Cream Finance is doing. So yeah, that's how it is about the situation last year and how we are thinking about this.
So basically Cream Finance is taking on the currency exchange risk since investors are investing in euros on Esketit, right?
Yes. And also Cream Finance is operating in different countries and there are also countries where they operate where euro is not the main currency, and that's the thing.
Are you new to P2P lending and confused by the terminology in this podcast? Get our P2P lending glossary on buymeacoffee.com/P2P Empire to fast track your knowledge in P2P lending.
All right, so our goal on P2P Empire is, of course, to protect our audience from potential risks that might materialize. And I could have not noticed that Esketit is registered in Ireland. Our audience is likely familiar with Groupier, which was a platform also registered in Ireland that froze investors' accounts almost 2 years ago now, and they still were not able to recover their investments. So why is Esketit registered in Ireland? That would be my first question. And the second question is, what would happen if suddenly, for any reason, Esketit would not be able to meet investors' obligations?
Yeah, you are right. Esketit is registered in Ireland, and that's correct. So the decision about registering in Ireland was made by founders when they were thinking about starting their business. When they usually start their businesses, they research different possibilities where they can do it. For example, for Cream Finance, their holding company is registered in Cyprus. Their IT operations are being done from Austria. They have also operations in Poland, in Latvia. And same was an Esketit case. So different possibilities were reviewed. We checked different tax aspects, legal aspects, business development aspects. And that's why the decision was made to start in Ireland. So that's about Ireland, but about that part, which is about protection of investors. Of course, that's the main thing here. And I think that's the main topic we need to talk about. So first thing is, I think for investors, take into consideration that behind all the loans, or biggest part of the loans, there is also a green finance organization, which means that all the loans which are coming from green finance, they are protected by them. And this is the organization which is already working more than 10 years. And I already mentioned that they have strategic shareholders from that biggest bank in South Africa. So that's why even if something would happen with the Sketit, definitely through those huge organizations which are also behind those loans, investors would be able to get back their funds and communicate with them directly. So that's about that part. But also, I think one very important thing to keep in mind is also excellent reputation of our founders. As I mentioned also in the beginning, Matthijs Antsviesels and David Barons, they are there in this business more than 10 years. They have never lost any investor funds, and they are not willing to do that, and they are not willing to affect their excellent reputation. And we see much more value in doing this business in a good manner, so all the sides could benefit. And that's our thinking process about this all in general.
I've noticed so currently investors can invest in loans from Spain, I think Sri Lanka, Jordan, and Czech Republic. So I'm aware in Czech Republic, the lending companies need to be regulated by the central bank. In Spain, I think there is no regulation for short-term lenders.
Mm-hmm.
And in Mexico and Jordan, I'm not completely familiar with the situation there. I think that a lot of investors, or some of them, might just want to stay within the European Union, kind of, and don't lend to countries or emerging markets, let's say. So how do you see the regulatory aspect of the loan originators in the countries where you offer investment opportunities in form of loans?
Yeah, this is also a good question. And it is also always on our table because, yeah, those are very important things to follow and to be informed about, so also to deliver, again, good investing circumstances for investors. So how we do that and how we control those risks, I would say that we are doing it in many different verticals, and I will tell you more about those. So one of those verticals is just maintaining good relationship with local regulators and associations. So we are always informed about news and possible changes in the countries where we do those businesses, so we can already in advance know if something is going to change or what changes are planned there and how this could affect our business there. Another vertical is we follow ourselves to what happens in country in general, maybe not only connected then to what is happening to loan issuing business, but in country in general, and try to understand whether and forecast whether any of events happening in the country could anyhow affect businesses that we are doing there. Another vertical is also maintaining a good relationship with borrowers and do everything according to law. So there is no reason for any regulator or any other institution in the country to fine us or affect in any other way. And also in green finance case, how they control this risk and try to mitigate is just by diversifying their loan portfolio between countries where they operate, and also in those countries where they operate, diversify the risks by having quite a wide borrower segments. So in their borrower segments, they have borrowers who are from subprime to near prime sector, and that's why in such a way they also control and mitigate this risk.
You mentioned the diversification across countries. In case of the loan originator in Jordan and Sri Lanka, I think those two are not part of the Green Finance Group, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
Do those companies, are they part of a different finance group which originates also in different countries?
Yeah, for each of those countries, there are different companies who own them, and those companies are at the end owned by same founders, Matthijs Antsviesels and David Barons. So yeah, this is the business model what they're having at the moment.
I've noticed that the trend in the P2P lending space, I'm aware of two platforms that started changing the funding structure of the loans, where they mm-hmm. add like a trust vehicle between the platform and the repayments of borrowers, which kind of prioritizes the repayments for investors first before paying out the remaining money to loan originators. I've seen this happening in Mexico for certain lenders, as well as in Indonesia, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Is this something that Sketit is following, or could you perhaps explain the transfer of funds, how it works with Sketit and Green Finance?
Yeah, I definitely can explain this. So yeah, loans on Sketit platform and funds for them are being like, as the situation with us is that we are kind of controlling everything that we are having on the platform. So because on our platform, loans only from originators where we have full control are issued. So because of that, we are also kind of having full control of cash flow. So that means that loan originators management just can decide themselves, maybe this week we will not transfer funds for what we have received borrowers because we need those funds for some other things. But I think also we have seen in some situations with other loan originators. So in our situation, I think the main factor how we mitigate this risk is just by the thing that we offer to investors only loans from originators we have full control of. And that's why in such a way we can fully be aware what's happening there and fully control that funds received from borrowers to our investors are sent to us. Also, we quite closely follow to that situation and how those cash flows are going. And as we are also having that full control of those companies, we can also have those settlements as frequently as we need to be able to cover all the payments for our investors. And and that's why in such a way also in our platform, we can not have such a thing as pending payments, which also may affect returns for our investors. And this is the way how we are doing that.
When you say you have full control of the loan originators, does it mean that as soon as the money is received from the borrower, you can pay it back to the investors, or do you need to wait for an agreement or a transfer from the loan originator to the SKTT bank accounts?
Yeah, we need to await this payment, but at the same time, those payments could be issued by our founders who are controlling those companies. That's how it works for us.
Are you wondering whether it's safe to invest in P2P loans? It can be if you invest on a legitimate platform. To help you make a responsible and informed investment decision, we have created a workbook that will help you get a quick overview of the legitimacy of any platform. With this guide, you will significantly reduce the chances of investing in fraudulent platforms. Get a copy of our guidebook at buymeacoffee.com/P2PEmpire.
I've also noticed in the last couple of months that smaller or bigger finance groups are leaving some of the marketplaces to launch their own platforms, which I think you just mentioned one of the main benefits to be more in control of the funds, of the money flow. What other benefits do you see for the investors to join a SKTT rather to invest on a bigger, perhaps more established marketplace?
Also, maybe investors can understand that for the platforms that who are using other marketplaces, so for you using those marketplaces, there are some costs for those loan originators companies. And if they are having their own marketplace, of course, they are also having costs. It's not like they are not having any costs. But if you are thinking about it in long term, then those costs are smaller. And that's why as those costs are smaller, they can offer to investors better rates and better circumstances for investors. And that's why I think that's one of the very good things for investors. Another thing is that I think also is worth to mention that, for example, if you invest in any platform where there are different loan originators, as we have also seen in the market, sometimes platform also can make some decisions which are affecting investors, and also it could deliver some negative experience to investors in such a way. But if they are investing through the platforms which are directly owned and controlled by loan originators, then such things would not happen.
So I think the three main benefits are, so first of all, there is more control from the platform which is owned by your lending company. The investors are getting higher interest rates because the costs are reduced. There is no middleman involved, which is also connected to lowering the platform risk, kind of, because you don't have another institution or a company behind, right? Or in between those transactions. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. How do you see this from a regulatory perspective? In Latvia, there is a trend now. Platforms are getting the investment from brokerage license from the Latvian regulator. Do you think that this is of any benefit to investors? And how do you think SKTT is going to become regulated maybe in the future?
Yeah. So in my opinion, investors are only benefiting from that, and that's very important thing for investors and for them to be sure that platforms are not thinking about doing any bad things and that they are under control and their operations are reviewed. And SKTT is also definitely looking in that way, and also we are now reviewing in which country and what license we will be going for, and this is also something that is definitely on our table and what we are thinking about to do in the nearest future.
Mm-hmm. Do you have already any candidates or any licenses that you have in mind that you would like to obtain?
No, I won't be able to tell you any exact one, but we are definitely considering different options, and as soon as we will have information, we will inform investors.
To maybe wrap up this interview, or what's your vision for Scatit in the long term? I think the P2P marketplace is already quite saturated. And it's not easy to gain the investors' trust in a fast manner. So how do you see Scatit developing in the near future?
In our situation, I think a very good thing is that behind us is Green Finance, and investors already know Green Finance for several years, and that it is a good, strong organization who know what they are doing in this business. And that's why I think also it helps to attract us investors, and we don't need to educate them about that side, about Green Finance and who they already know, and then we just need to tell them what Scatit is. But yeah, about Scatit long-term vision, so we are here to be a good partner for our investors and the loan issuing businesses we have on the platform. By offering our platform, we want to offer investors to participate in the business journey of our founders, so they can also earn from loan originators they are having, and also at the same time for originators we are having this platform to be able to successfully fund part of their loan portfolios through the platform. Yeah, and if we are thinking again about the long-term vision, so with the time we also plan to also add some other services that will be demanded by our investors, and that's why investors we are very open to receiving feedback from them, especially in our first months, if we can talk like that. And so definitely investors feel free to share what you are thinking and what you see think that is needed to be added to the platform. At the moment, there is a good chance to affect our development backlog, and so that's why feel free to share the feedback in any possible channels.
All right, Vitalis, thank you very much for your time. For the investors who are listening to this podcast or watching us on YouTube, if you want to be updated about the latest developments about Scatit, you can go to ptpimpar.com/review/Scatit, where you will also find a guide of how Scatit works. Vitalis, thank you so much for your time, and all the best.